We've been talking about evangelism for a few weeks, and it's really important, and we're going to carry on with it today. And Rachel spoke a couple of weeks ago on three important parts of evangelism. Do, be, and say. I'm going to look at those things a little bit more today in a little bit more detail. So, what does God want to do with your life? It's a very basic question, really, to think about. What does God want to do? He wants to make you into a clone of Jesus. What's a clone? Yeah, a copy, right. He wants to make us into clones of Jesus. He wants us to become like him. He wants us to become Christ-like. And it doesn't mean, ladies, that you've got to start growing a beard, or men. It doesn't mean you've got to learn about carpentry, but it does mean that when we're becoming Christ-like, we need to be becoming more and more like Christ in our lives, day by day, in his character, in his personality, and in his lifestyle, become more and more like Jesus. That's what God intends for us. So he wants to make clones. There's Jesus, and there's us. That's what he wants to do. This is what it says in the Bible in Colossians. God wanted you Gentiles to understand his wonderful and glorious mystery. And the mystery is Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you as a Christian. That's what he says. And people might not see Christ very much in you, but that's what he wants. We are his children, it says. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. And Paul says, my children, I'm in terrible pain until Christ may be seen living in you. So that's what Christ wants to do. That's what Paul said he wanted. He wanted Christ to be seen in us. That's God's objective for each one of our lives. That's the main purpose of why we're here, to become more and more like Jesus. This is what Jesus said. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I am in you. So Jesus says he is in us. Now, how does he do this? First of all, he does it by forgiving our sins. We couldn't come to God at first because of our sin. Sins get in the way. But Jesus forgives our sins. So that's the first step. And the second step is that he fills us with the Holy Spirit of Jesus. So Jesus comes into our lives by forgiving us and then coming into our hearts with the Holy Spirit to make us more like Christ. That is what he does for us. So what do we have to do? We do this by following the words and teachings of Jesus. That's why it's important to read the Bible, to find out what God wants us to do and what Jesus actually is like. You know, if you never read the Gospels, you can't really know what Jesus is like very much. But that's what he wants us, to follow the words and teachings of Jesus. And he wants us to obey the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's really important. I'll be talking about that a little bit more. So, we often have these bracelets, what would Jesus do? And this is the first thing, what would Jesus do? Jesus said, let your light shine before others, and they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Good deeds are good things that you do to help other people. And if we want to be like Jesus, we should ask, what would he do? What would Jesus do? The answer is, do good. Do good to other people. That's a good starting point. We should do good for others, as Jesus told us to. He says in Peter, this is a very similar passage, live such good lives amongst the pagans that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in heaven. It's very positive, this. It's something to do, and we should do it in our lives. It's not natural. He wants to change us. He wants to make us start to care more for people in need. He wants us to make us generous with what we have. Jesus said, go and visit people in prison. Go and feed hungry people. Help people who are sick. So these are the signs of a Christian, a clone of Jesus. And it's not just, you might say, well, I do this already, but it may be we only do it for our friends and our family. But Jesus said, what good's that if you just help your friends, care for your family when they're sick and they're in need? He said, even the pagans do that. But he said, you need to go further. You need to be helping people who can't repay you. So the question is, have you got that far in your life? Do people look at you and think, that person is really genuine, they really love people? What do people think about you? Are you known for your good deeds? Also, we need to ask, what would Jesus not do? Because the Holy Spirit has a double effect. On the one hand, he tells us what to do, and he'll present opportunities for doing good things to other people, to you in your life. And that's the time when he says, help that person. We need to respond and do it. But also the Holy Spirit has a second effect, which is what would Jesus not do? In other words, the Holy Spirit warns us from falling into sin when we're tempted. This has absolutely amazing moral power, I think. We have an inner power in us, the Holy Spirit. So when we're tempted, say, to steal something, or tempted to do an immoral act, or tempted to lie, or tempted to get revenge, the Holy Spirit warns us, don't do that. You hear it inside. He's telling you. Jesus was tempted by the devil. He was going to try and get, the devil said to him, you can get complete world control if you just bow down to me. You know that story. Jesus was tempted to doubt God's word, but he didn't. He resisted. And so that's an example for us. What would Jesus not do? So the next question is, what would Jesus be? We've looked at evangelism do, now we're on to be. What would Jesus be? Jesus was consistent, authentic, real, you could say. And that's why he didn't like the Pharisees, because the Pharisees said one thing and did another. They lived what they said and did things, but their lives underneath just didn't match. There was an inconsistency. They weren't consistent in their lives. They weren't authentic. They weren't real. Now, the Pharisees, I think, are often like Christians, or often like sort of middle-class Christians. You know, we sometimes think, well, I'm a Christian, I don't do this and I don't do that, and I do my bit of help for somebody. But that is not what a Christian is like. A Christian is growing to be authentic, to do good things in their lives day by day. So it's not the same as being just middle class nice, so to speak. Jesus was motivated by love. That's the thing, that underneath, there wasn't any hidden stuff. It was genuine and real. He was motivated by love to care for people that he met. So good deeds, a consistent lifestyle, those are the first two things. Do and be. Do good deeds. Be. Live a consistent lifestyle. Be loving and real. But there's a third thing. What would Jesus say? What would Jesus say? When Jesus spoke, he spoke about God's kingdom. Jesus didn't just do good deeds. He didn't just live a completely consistent life. He also spoke. So Christ-likeness, if we want to become Christ-like in our lives, that's part of the package. It means speaking like him too. Again, it's not just like middle-class speech, you know. Ooh, that man swore. I don't like that. I don't swear. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. What would Jesus say was positive. It was about the kingdom of God. And speaking about the kingdom of God is what Jesus did. So if we want to be like him, speaking is part of the package. The words of Jesus are very important. It's not just lifestyle, it's not just how you live and the kind deeds that you do, but the words that you say, they're an important part of your Christian life too. What would Jesus say? Jesus is known as the Word. That's a spoken thing. He was the Word. We have the Gospels. This is a red letter Bible. I don't know if you've ever seen a red letter Bible, but red letter Bibles have all the words of Jesus marked red. So in quite a lot of pages in this Bible, there are bits of red where Jesus actually spoke. It's a red letter Bible. Just imagine if you removed all those red letter bits. Imagine what would be left. Well, you'd have stories about Jesus healing people and doing good. But you wouldn't know anything about the kingdom of God. You wouldn't know anything that he said, because the words are really important. Jesus wasn't just a kind person and a healer. If he'd just been that, it would have been very confusing to people. But Jesus spoke words. He came to bring information about God to us. He spoke words about God. And if we are going to be Christ-like in our lives, we not just need to do, which we do need to do, we don't just need to be, but we also need to say. This is what Jesus said. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person. Jesus says, don't be ashamed of me. Unfortunately and sadly, we often are ashamed of Jesus. We hesitate before speaking about the kingdom of God. But if we want to be like Christ, speaking needs to be there too. We need all three things: kind actions, consistent lifestyle, and words about Jesus. Remember what Jesus did. He called together his 12 disciples and he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom and to heal the sick. Say and do. Tell them and do something. That's what he said. And again, I will send you the Spirit who comes from the Father and shows what is true. The Spirit will help you and will tell you about me. Then you will also tell others about me. So this is a really important part of what it is to be a Christian. Now, I'm going to introduce you to a doctor. You've been to the doctor, I'm sure. And in this particular doctor's surgery, you walk in, the doctor says, don't speak, Not a word. Don't say, you don't need to say a word. I know completely what's wrong with you. You're not very well, are you? And you need an aspirin. I'll write a prescription. Next patient. Now, that doesn't happen. If it did happen, Rachel said that would really save a lot of money for the NHS. But a good doctor is not like that. A good doctor realizes that all patients are different. And so he has to listen to what their problems are. Every patient comes in, they've got different medical problems. And so doctors need to listen carefully to them. A good doctor, tell Richard how to do this here, he might say something like, why have you come to see me today? All right, open-ended question, why have you come? And so Christians need to be a bit like a good doctor. Each patient with a doctor needs the right treatment. We need to be a listener to people and the Holy Spirit. Now it says listen, but speaking, I think, should follow listening. Jesus recognized, didn't he, that people are different. Jesus didn't sort of give the aspirin treatment to every patient, you know, you're ill, here's aspirin, you're ill, here's aspirin, you're ill, here's an aspirin. He didn't do that. He listened to them and he knew where they were coming from. He recognized that people's needs were different. And also, people are on different points in their journey to God. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I just want to give you some examples. I mean, Jesus didn't always say to everybody, repent, believe the gospel, be baptized. You might say that's a sort of that's our Christian aspirin, in a sense, you know, doling out the same message to everybody. He didn't do that. He said different things to different people. Think about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus up the tree looking for Jesus. Jesus comes to his home and talks to him. And the man gives money back that he's taken illegitimately. That's one story. Think about the Pharisees. Jesus had a completely different message to the Pharisees than he did to Zacchaeus. Quite different. What about the people who came to him who were feeling weary? Jesus didn't just give them a sort of a formula. He said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A different message again. What about the woman who was caught in adultery? A different message again. Jesus was giving different messages to different people, depending on where they were. But he always spoke about the kingdom of God. He always spoke about eternal issues. He always started where they were at. So, when we meet people, we need to be listening to them. And we need to be listening with our hearts and our spirit, listening to where they are at, listening to their emotional and spiritual needs. Everyone that we meet has a spiritual or emotional or soul need. Everyone has needs and problems. And Jesus can help those problems. But you won't know what they are unless you listen a bit. You need to focus on those people, listening to them, and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart as well to tell you what is going on. You could be asking yourself, as they're talking to you, how could Jesus help this person? And you don't want to rush in too quickly and say, right, this is what you need. What you might do, this is sort of a counselling approach, I think. I'm not a counsellor, but I think this is what you should do. You should say, well, I think you're saying this. Am I somewhere near? Have I got what you're saying to me? Or am I miles off? So the person knows that you're listening to them and you're trying to understand what they're saying. So we need to listen to people. We need to ask, what are they really saying? We need to be asking, where are they hurting? Everyone has a spiritual need. But also, people are at different points on their journey, you could say. And we need to discover where people are. Now, I've got a little chart here, which you might have seen something like this before. Perhaps you haven't, but anyway. This is a little thing that you can bear in mind as you're talking to people and finding out where they are, where they're at. Because you need to try and find out where they're at, like a doctor would ask relevant questions to his patient. So you could say something like this, maybe. Mary, you know my faith is really, really important to me, my Christian faith. It's a bit like a journey, I find. Where would you say that you were on your journey towards God? Simple question like that. Quite a hard question, but straightforward. And asking them what they say, and they say, well, I don't believe in God. Or, well, I believe in God, but... So you need to listen to them and find out. And these are some questions that you might find helpful. Do they believe there is a God? If they believe there is a God, you've got a bit of a foundation there to start with. You don't need to start thinking about how I can convince a person that there is a God. Then you might ask the question, do they think that God is interested in them? Because many people who believe in God think he's just way out there. There's a creator far, far away, made the whole universe, but doesn't know about little old me here. And not interested in little old me. So we can ask that question. Do you think that God might be interested in you? And if they think, yes, I do believe that God's interested in me, but I don't really find he's very close, you could ask them what they think about Jesus. An open-ended question. You know, you're not saying, do you believe Jesus is this? You say, what do you think about Jesus? They might say, well, I believe he's a good man. He lived a long time ago, prophet. And you might ask them, why did he die, perhaps? Why did Jesus come? Why do you think Jesus came? And what does Jesus want? By asking some questions like that, you get to find out where people really are at. And by doing that, you can start to think, how does the gospel apply to this person? What are their needs? You're acting like a spiritual doctor, in a sense, trying to find out where people are at and applying the gospel, giving them the good news where it applies in their lives. So, listen and listen and listen before you speak. Really important to listen. And then the next thing is, we've got to be sure that our words are getting through. Now, I'm going to give you an example here. We've got to try and learn the language or use the language of the people. And sometimes we use a different kind of language, churchy language, you could say. Now, I'm going to ask you if you know what these things mean. Right, if you're a lady or a man, and you know what those words mean, please raise your hand. Right, okay, thank you. If you don't know what they mean, put your hand up. Right, okay, most of you don't know. This is because... this is jargon words. These are words that you know if you go to Slimmer's World. If you do that, you'll know these words, and they're important for you. Most people use jargon a lot to cover their work. You know, you have work phrases and things that you use. And, you know, doctors use, they've got their own vocabulary. And anybody with a hobby or anything has its own vocabulary, and so do we. We have our own vocabulary. Jargon, special words that you use, are a way of separating the in-group from the out-group. See, if you know what SINs and Healthy Extra A and Club 10 and Target Bubble are, you're part of the in-group for Slimmer's World. If you don't, you're out. Most of us are out. I didn't discover the meaning of those words till Friday. And now I think I know, roughly. Now, these are the words that the club uses. When you know them, you'll be one of us. So club words keep people out. They're unfriendly and unwelcoming. Now, what about Christians? Salvation. You can't read this, can you? Neither can I, for that matter. Justification. Crucifixion. Here's a good word coming up. Thee and thou and grace. Right, you can read them. Well, there are loads of words that just flow off our tongue as Christians. You know, we just say them without thinking. But these words are like the words that they use in clubs. They're jargon words. And we have to think of how we can get these ideas across. And it is possible. I've always said Christians should use the vocabulary list of the Sun newspaper. If you can say the Christian gospel in the words of the Sun, you will communicate with most people in this country. If you can only communicate with the words of the Bible, you will not communicate with most of the people in this country. So we have got to learn to speak ordinary language outside. He wonders what we're saying. Use simple words, it says here. Avoid Christian jargon and communicate your message clearly. Now, I'm going to just show you a couple of verses of a favorite hymn. How many of you know the song, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah? Put your hand up if you've ever heard that song. Right, okay. Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Wonderful song, right? But it's absolutely full of stuff that people won't understand. First of all, thou and Jehovah. When you think of Jehovah, what does the average person in the street think of? Jehovah's Witnesses, exactly, right. And what does it mean? Don't know. Look at this, pilgrim through this barren land. What on earth is the barren land we're talking about? This is quite a fertile land, green. I go out in the country, it's nice. What's he talking about? I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven. What? Never heard of that before. Feed me now and evermore. Look at this second verse. This is even more interesting. Open now the crystal fountain. Now, what on earth does that mean? I mean, if you don't know, it's not much hope for people outside. Whence the healing stream doth flow. What on earth is a healing stream? Let the fiery, cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer. Ah, we know what that is. That's Asda. They deliver to my house. Be thou still my strength and shield. And there's another verse here. Look at this. When I tread the verge of Jordan. Now, what is the verge of Jordan? What is the verge of Jordan? Now, you might be able to come and tell me afterwards what the verge of Jordan is. Bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me safe through the swelling current. Land me safe on Canaan's side. You see, we sing these songs, and it's absolutely we don't understand them, and people outside don't understand them. So the message is, use ordinary language. And often the message which we use can be very confusing. Here's a guy talking to a girl. He says, Jesus died for our sins. And she says, I'm allowed 3 sins a day. So he's thinking about Jesus dying on the cross, and she's thinking about cake. So we need to use simple words and avoid Christian jargon. We need to communicate our message clearly. So, even if we make mistakes, if we're going to be Christ-like, we need to speak about Jesus. Now, I tell you, this is not easy. But we are called to be disciples, aren't we? Did Jesus say, you know, become a Christian, everything will be nice and easy after that. You will have no problems. I won't ask you to do anything difficult. I won't ask you to do anything hard. No, he said, come and follow me. Take up your cross, follow me. Die to self every day. That's what he said. And so this isn't easy. And, you know, I'm standing here speaking, but I don't find it easy either. Not easy to speak about Jesus to anybody, but we have to learn to do it. We have to get started and do it. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit reminding us, telling us, speak to that person, say something to them or listen to them. Sometimes people will just say a word to you, you know, oh, I'm feeling rotten today. And that may be just a moment where you can pick it up and listen and find out what the problem is and then bring Jesus into it. So, a while back I gave you some homework on a previous talk, and we've got homework today. Oh dear, what's he going to ask us to do? Well, do acts of kindness. Look for opportunities where we can do an act of kindness, especially to somebody who is not a relative or a close friend, somebody who can't pay you back or won't, it will be a surprise for them, someone for whom it will be totally unexpected, and it might cost you. Do acts of kindness. Be consistent. You know, people aren't going to listen to you if you say one thing and a load of garbage comes out of your mouth another time, or you don't act lovingly or honestly. Jesus wants a consistent lifestyle. And say. Speak to someone. We need to ask that the Holy Spirit will give us an opportunity to speak to someone this week. This is homework. Do a good deed, be consistent, and look for an opportunity to really speak about the kingdom of God to someone else. That's what being a Christian is about, becoming Christ-like. Remember, Jesus wasn't just a doer and a beer with his mouth zipped shut. He also spoke, and that's what we're called to do. Just got a few quotes now, which I'm going to see if they come up, and I'm just going to just get these quotes to come up if I can. Where's my mouse gone to? Right. Okay. So let's pray. Lord, we come to you. We come to you as people who are weak. We come to you as people who need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We come to you, Lord Jesus, asking you that this week you will help us to be a bit more Christ-like, doing a good deed to somebody, being consistent, and speaking to someone about the kingdom of God and about why Jesus came. Lord, give us the strength, we pray. And Lord, we thank you that as we cast our seed out, as we throw it out, Lord, some of that seed will fall on good ground. Lord, people we might not expect might just be waiting for that word of encouragement to trust in Jesus. They might just want to come and believe in him. But Lord, we won't know if we don't plant the seeds. So we just ask that you will help us to go out and be Jesus in the world this week. In his name we pray. Amen.